I want to back up for a minute. You mentioned something that I just want to clarify because I didn't understand it. The AMO.
One thing.
The it says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost." When he breathed on them, you said that's not the Holy Spirit.
No, they received the Holy Spirit, that divine person, on the day of Pentecost, which was about how many days later?
Right. Okay. But that was that's the when they were involved. You don't think that he imparted the Holy Spirit to them?
No. The article also is left out. It's receive Holy Spirit.
Receive Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is similar to what you have in Genesis when God breathed into man's nostril the breath of life, and in John 20, it's resurrection life he's imparted unto them. But on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came and indwelt.
The question that I had relates to verse 2. Darby has it, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Is that not positional?
Yes.
So positionally, that's what we are. And now we're talking about a practical living of what we are positionally.
You have those big engine on a plane. Mm-hmm. That plane could sit on the ground if you don't charge him and let them go. So you have the Spirit of God. You have that Spirit of life. But if you don't live in the Spirit, if you don't walk in the Spirit, well, that's what's going to happen. You'll be in Romans 7.
So if you don't abide in Christ, like our brother was saying in that John chapter 15.
We have all the resources. We have all the capacity. God doesn't give us things a little after. When you're saved, you have it all. The matter, the thing is this, we're just so earthbound that, and again, it's just that's the way we are. But that's why we sit in a Bible reading and we learn these things. And again, you don't learn these things really by reading books. I just want to say that. It's good to read books and read. There's excellent commentary on the book of Romans that is written by our early brethren. Read that. But it's one thing to really, really experience with the Lord these very same things. So you will be able to have this experience, that liberty.
Peter says, "He's given unto us all things
to attain unto life and godliness
through the knowledge of."
Instead of being overcome, we must become overcomers. Maybe some of you were at Grove City Bible Conference 1 year. Mm-hmm. And as we were waiting in the lineup to get our tray, all of a sudden a flashing message was given. And a question was asked, "What is an overcomer?" And then when that, all kinds of exclamation marks, emphasis, and then the next thing was, "Go and ask Brother Nick." This man I'd had a conversation with before the meeting, and so he came to me and he says, "How many did come?" I said, "Listen, young man," I said, "you are going to change that around." So he put it this way, in my conversation with him I had used that expression, you see, and I had said, "An overcomer is one who has one more up than down." And you know, so it is. So don't settle down for being overcome. No, you remember the seven addresses end with, in different places, the overcomer address. "To him that overcometh for us, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne."
If I can continue a little bit on the thought of an aeroplane, one other thing is so essential. You need a pilot. And who is my pilot for this life? Who is a young person's pilot for this life if it isn't the Lord? You're not going to fly straight. You're not going to get off the ground until you have a pilot. And the only one who can keep us from failing and sinning in this life is the Lord Jesus indwelling you and allowing him to guide and direct you. When I'm flying in an airplane, I don't go up front and bang on the door and say, "Wait a minute, let me take these controls. I can do it better than you can." No, I don't do that. The Lord is the right pilot for each one of us, and he will guide us correctly. and he'll bring us to that home on high, and he's not going to crash, and he's not going to fail. It's wonderful to have him as our pilot, isn't it? I just wanted to add those few thoughts.
I want to add to this, but not about planes. I don't know much about planes. But I would say this, brother. One day I'm going to fly.
Right.
And without a plane.
Your pilot is already up there.
Amen. But I'm going to fly. And I'm going to leave my Lord in the air. But I will fly. I would say that.
I thank the brethren. Now I understand what the bumper sticker means.
What bumper sticker is that?
The event of the rapture?
Yes. But it's a wonderful thing to see that he gives us the facts that there is security, but he also gives us the fact that there is liberty. Yeah. And brethren, that's a wonderful thing. It is God does not... Okay, we have talked about that experience of Romans 7. But let's talk about God's expectation. God's expectation from us is really to walk in the good of our standing. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to leave today taking an excuse with us. Well, if I didn't live up to Romans 8, or if I was living up to Romans 7, that's quite all right, because we have heard that that's the experience of every believer. Well, that's true, that's an experience. But never lose sight of God's expectation that if he had brought us into a certain position, his expectation from us is to walk in these expectations, is to walk in the truth that he has brought us into. So brethren, we want to walk, like you have mentioned before, Brother Sam, in verse 2, as if it's done. He has made me free. And we should walk in the same, truth, that I am free from any bondage, whether the bondage of the law, or whether the bondage of sin, or whether any bondage. I'm free. I'm liberated by the grace of God, and I'm going to walk in the good of it.
Well, that walk again, it goes back to chapter 6. Those that are raised from the dead are to walk in newness of life. Not in oldness of the letter, but in newness of life. Walk in newness of life, walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, walk in love. All of it is positive. None of it is negative. We're not going backward, brethren. We're going ahead with the Lord.
You have not received again the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And one more comment here. This is a description of the God who is listening, and who is, his eyes run to and fro all over the earth to make himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. We need to get to know God by the Spirit. Here in verse 3 of Romans 15. Our task in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor. Remember the parable, who is my neighbor? For his good to upbuilding, edification. Now verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches, it might cost you that, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. This was Christ speaking. Then it says in verse 5, now the God of patience, that word patience means endurance. Now the God of endurance and consolation, simply meaning encouragement. Now put it together, the God of all endurance and encouragement grants you, in the collective aspect now, in our assemblies, to be like-minded one toward another. What standard? According to Christ Jesus. What a standard. That ye, verse 9, may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. That's the end result that God has in view. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I close with verse 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. It's not hopeless, it's hopeful. That you may abound in hope. In what power? In the power of the Holy Ghost. And we're getting back to ourselves.